Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yes, the blowhards are rolling into Missoula later today. Bernie Sanders and fake accent AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. There was some weather reports earlier this morning about the high wind warning in Missoula. You know, may have some gusts topping 40 miles per hour. And so Jake in Billings was like, yep, the blowhards are coming to town for their rich socialist rally here later today. So this was really interesting. In fact, earlier this morning, as I'm, you know, doing my show prep, I'm reading the news, I'm checking out what's on X, you know, because that's where you get the best information anymore, you know, aside from you and our radio friends, right? X has some great information. But I'm seeing this news, and I was like, oh, man, I got to reach out to Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica. I got to see what she's hearing. I got to see what she's thinking, because she is like, you know, it's either her and one other that are like the lone common sense people on the Missoula City Council. And so anyway, Sam Redfern, he posted some photos on X. I saw this yesterday, earlier in the day. He said, hey, look at this. They're doing a big river cleanup in Missoula. They're cleaning up the trash. And you guys who've been listening to this show, I mean, you know about the trash in Missoula. You know, you got, not only do Missoula liberals want to bring the criminal illegal aliens into this country, but they want their city to be invaded by these out-of-state transients. And so now you've got human feces, drug needles, trash lining the banks of the Clark Fork River. And so anyway, but the city finally decided to go up and clean up the river and pick up the trash. And then Sam Redfern raised a really good question. He said, basically, are they only doing this because Bernie Sanders and AOC are coming to visit Missoula? What a great question. I mean, because you guys remember Gavin Newsom in San Francisco did the exact same thing. I mean, you had human feces and drug needles. Kids had to step over human feces to walk to their local elementary school in San Francisco. But the moment dear leader Xi Jinping from China was visiting San Francisco, they had power washers out. No joke. They had the streets looking spotless. And then it went all to crap after that once again. Same thing will happen in Missoula. In fact, Darren Gobb, he said, this is the Gavin Newsom tactic. Clean it up for an event, let it go to trash immediately after. But I reached out to Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica. I said, hey, what do you think? Did they just clean this up finally for Bernie and AOC? She says, I'm glad it was done. It's a strange coincidence. I'm unsure if it was because of the event today, but the optics sure make it seem like it. What an embarrassment for the rich socialists in Missoula. They call themselves environmentalists, but they don't even clean up their own damn river until their buddies Bernie and AOC show up in town. We've got the phone lines open for you right after this.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what's that terminology they call it? Kabuki theater? What is it when they just put this whole thing on just for show? Anyway, yeah, this was the tweet I sent about 2 hours ago. Was this just normal clean up the drug needles and human feces on the banks of the river in Missoula? Or was this special for Bernie and AOC's fake accent? There you go. Into the phone lines we go. Frank in Evergreen first up this morning. Frank, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
Hi, Aaron. Yeah, you said it so eloquently. I tell you, it's a mess working with these devils. But I want to say the proper way to address this situation classify them what they are, left-wing conspiratorial oligarchs. Venezuela, what are they going to do for them? Set up some pallets out in a homeless camp with some tents that made out of tarps, and it should be a big setting up a quarantine at the airport too when they arrived, and make sure that they're not having any invasive species creeping out of their luggage, and that they're wherever they're going to attend. You know, these are foul creatures.
Well, a lot of them will still be wearing their masks. I mean, it's going to be, I hope somebody's taking a lot of photographs, because you're going to see on full display the carnival of crazy once again. But yeah, you're exactly right. They are the oligarchs. They are the ones that have gotten rich off of we the people, and they are the ones that are trying to control we the people. And it's typical. Whatever they claim other people are, or whatever other people are doing, is actually what they are and what they are doing. And so, and this is the oligarchy tour. They're the ones that not only have gotten rich off of us, but then they want to take more of our money in the process. Craziness will be on display, that's for sure. All right, great to hear from you. Let's go next. We've got Marcus in Kalispell listening to KJJR. Marcus, what's on your mind?
Hey, so I was calling about there's this Save Act for the elections, right, where you got to prove that you're a citizen in order to vote. And this guy named Joseph Morell, I was watching C-SPAN the other day on the 9th, and this guy Joseph Morell, a Democrat from New York, he was pushing in the Senate. Now, I don't know where the Save Act is yet, if it's passed through the Senate or the House of Representatives or whatever, but this guy, Joseph Morell, when he had his 5 minutes to talk, he was really pushing on trying to get changes to the bill or whatever. He was really pushing the idea that if people vote late, their votes should still count, no matter really how late it is. And I think that's weird, because we got people are pushing for that, but obviously the Democrats are pushing for, oh, you don't need identification to vote. But some of them are even pushing to say, oh, well, you can vote late and it doesn't matter. And I think if they're trying to get that to be a normal thing and normalize late votes coming in, I think they're really trying to find a way to still keep corruption going with the elections, because I don't believe that the elections were very true, you know.
Well, past
elections.
That's why Trump talked about, you know, the need in 2024, too big to rig, and that's exactly what happened. And yet you look at everything that Joe Biden and crew did to tick off the American people, all the harm they caused to this country, and yet the Democrats are doubling down. I mean, they are doubling down. All they will talk about is how they want to keep this MS-13 gang member in the United States of America. That's all the Democrats and the liberal media will talk about right now. They keep calling him a Maryland man. He's an illegal alien from El Salvador, under a deportation order, who two different federal judges and local law enforcement and federal law enforcement said that he's an MS-13 gang member. And yet, look at, Democrats are fighting to bring that guy back to the United States of America. I was talking about Bernie Sanders and AOC being in Missoula later today, and there was actually a funny comment, I think it was on the KPAX TV Facebook page, where one guy said, which accent is AOC going to bring to Missoula later today? Here's Trace Gallagher last night.
Meantime, turns out AOC and Kamala Harris, they like to speak, Beverly, in different accents and different tones when they're talking to the people. Here's a little sample.
Donald Trump is a criminal who was found guilty of 34 felony counts of fraud. Manipulating the stock market too.
You know, it's good to see so many friends. I love you back.
And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
I don't know, is AOC, is it the Hepburn-ish? I can't really put my thumb on it, but it's something, Beverly. I mean, come on.
I think the accent is somewhere in between Valley Girl and maybe a Spanish accent. Maybe this is what she thinks people in Idaho sound like. Clearly, they don't. I think what's really going on is whether it's AOC or Kamala or even Hillary Clinton, you have these female Democrats who think in order to be taken seriously, they need to sound presidential. And that means getting rid of their normal conversational style and being these very impassioned orators. And it comes across as inauthentic and even cheesy. People can see right through it. It doesn't work, and AOC just needs to work on finding an accent that people actually use. I have no idea what that was.
It's fake, it's phony, and for AOC, she feels like she's old news, so she's trying to keep up with the crockets.
Securing America.
A recent Senate Armed Services Subcommittee hearing focused on the threat presented by cybercrime and espionage. South Dakota Republican Senator Mike Rounds.
The importance of the cyber domain cannot be overstated.
Nevada Democratic Senator Jackie Rosen agreed, saying that the reason for that is because cyber threats are no longer occasional. They're a daily fact of life.
It is a national security imperative, and the threat environment, as we all know, continues to intensify every single day.
Lieutenant General William Hartman is the acting commander of U.S. Cyber Command. He described the scope of cyber danger.
Our adversaries are persistent and they are sophisticated. State-sponsored cyber actors from China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia pose significant threats to our critical infrastructure and military systems.
He says the ability to harness AI effectively will be a key to credible cyber deterrence. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, speaking of Joe Biden, why didn't they bring Joe Biden to Missoula? Why don't they bring him here later today? He shuffled out of retirement yesterday and gave just some, well, typical Joe Biden, huh? Speech. There was a lot of huh moments, it sounded like. One of them was Joe Biden. The Daily Caller, I like the way they put it, he came out of retirement to yell at us about dignity. You remember all the names Joe Biden used for you? You remember all the name-calling he did with Trump supporters? I mean, this is the same Joe Biden that flooded this country with illegal aliens. This is the same Joe Biden that called that young woman a dog-faced pony soldier. The same Joe Biden that tried to throw his political opponent in prison. The same Joe, I could go on and on and on, but yet now he wants to lecture us about dignity. And like I say, the Daily Caller had a great report on this.
It's about dignity. Simple dignity. Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity, regardless of their standing, regardless of their economic situation, regardless of who they are. Making sure that more than 60 million Americans who are living with disabilities are treated with dignity is who we are as Americans.
Yeah, dignity, dignity, dignity. And as the Daily Caller's Marianne Angela pointed out, this was just months after he labeled anybody who voted for Donald Trump as, quote, garbage. But here he is, pearl-clutching and lecturing us about dignity. Now, my prediction yesterday was that the Joe Biden speech would be something like this, like fuzzle, wuzzle, buzzle, bubble, 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 bubble. And there was definitely some of those moments, it appears. But this was one of the oddest segments or the oddest clips that came from Joe Biden's first speech after leaving the White House from yesterday. It's odd. Just listen to this one.
And I'd never seen hardly any black people in Scranton at the time, when I was only going in fourth grade. And I remember seeing the kids going by at the time called colored kids on a bus going by.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, I thought they were supposed to take the car keys away from that guy. Why are they letting him still wander around aimlessly in the middle of traffic? I mean, the elder abuse continues here with this guy. All right. Speaking of Joe Biden and the invasion of illegal aliens into this country and other abuses of power to flood this country with who knows who, I got to ask you guys, was anybody surprised at what this left-wing judge in Butte just did yesterday? Was anybody surprised? Okay, Judge Dana Christensen, federal judge, U.S. District Judge Dana Christensen, he was put on the bench by Senate Democrats, you know, by people like Max Baucus, who sold us out to the communist Chinese, which is why Max Baucus has that big fancy house near the Bridger Mountains now. He didn't make it the honest way. He made it by getting rich off of you and then selling you out to the communist Chinese. And so Max is able to live high on the hog now, thanks to the communist Chinese. Well, Baucus not only put Don Malloy on the federal bench in Missoula back in the 90s, he put people like Christensen on the court, the Obama judge, who just ruled against the Trump administration yesterday when it comes to these to this international student from Iran and then another one from Turkey. So basically, this was the headlines. Federal court halts Homeland Security's attempt to remove two Montana graduate students. The other headline here, judge orders federal government to restore legal status for two MSU international students. We just said this earlier this week. It's not a hard prediction to make. These lawless left-wing federal judges that we've got here in Montana because of Senate Democrats and presidents like Obama and Biden, of course, they're going to do everything they can to try to stop President Donald J. Trump from securing the border and from securing our country. And so it's no surprise that this Judge Christensen just ruled and overreached his authority as a federal judge to try to do just that, as predicted. But it's not a hard prediction to make because, you know, just like Judge Don Malloy killed the timber industry in western Montana and he's been a blank check for the far left and these woke environmental groups, Dana Christensen has been that. He's been trying to do that for eastern Montana with his rulings against agriculture, his ruling against Montana ranchers, his ruling against Montana coal and oil and gas. He's basically another Don Malloy in another district, which is why we desperately need some new federal judges on the bench that actually respect the rule of law and our Constitution. Hey, we got a great guest who just popped in the studio here. We'll see if he wants to throw on the headset here a little early. Montana Senator Tim Sheehy in the house, in studio. God, last time I ran into him, we were at the Capitol in Washington, D.C.
Was it that long ago?
It's still weird calling you Senator.
You don't have to do that. Just call me Tim.
I feel like It's like, man, I almost feel bad calling you Senator. It's like, you know, it's like it was so much cooler to just be like Navy SEAL veteran, aerial firefighter. Yeah, no, but it's yeah. Man, good to see you. Thanks for popping in the studios here this morning.
Yeah, great to be here. We're this is my first week basically home since we've started. It's been a deployment essentially. And, you know, as you've seen in the press, probably this has been the most productive Senate in like a generation. I mean, John Thune has us working, and we're proud to do it, nights, weekends, holidays. We just had another all-night vote on Thursday night before I came back on Friday, and it's not like we've been hanging out there working two-day weeks. So it's good to be back, and since I've been here at the ground running, we've been all over the state, Miles City, Lewistown, Whitehall, Butte here today. It's been a great time reconnecting with the state.
I like the new jacket, by the way. You got the American flag on the left shoulder. The Navy guys, you typically, sometimes they'd carry them on both shoulders, but you got it on the left shoulder, facing the right way, of course. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a letter number combo on your right shoulder. What's the
deal? This is just one of my old call sign patches from the team. So, you know, now I'm doing a bit of a military awareness tour around the state right now. It's why we've been traveling so much. And the context for it is the service academies, West Point, Annapolis, Air Force Academy, Coast Guard, Merchant Marine are great institutions to go to. Obviously, no cost to be paid by the student other than years in your life in the service, which, as you know, is a tremendous experience to build great brotherhood and sisterhood and get great opportunities. But, you know, you go to a state like California, Virginia, Georgia, military states, you'll have 100,000 high school kids competing for a couple of hundred slots to a service academy. They can come into Montana looking sometimes we don't even have enough qualified applicants to fill our slots. So I'm trying to raise awareness about it. Obviously, I went to the Naval Academy, met my wife. She was a Marine. We met at the Naval Academy. So going to a lot of high schools, making sure our kids understand that opportunity exists. So wearing some of my old military gear to show them some spirit.
Yeah, in fact, actually, I had the honor of serving on a Military Academy nominating board, which was kind of funny because I was an ROTC guy. I kind of wanted to enjoy college a little bit more, but also serve, right?
Yeah.
But your wife was on that Academy nominating board as well. Man, she is sharp and knew and was great at interviewing these candidates. But I know talking with some other folks who've served on these boards, they said, we're just not getting the young people, especially out of Eastern Montana, to raise their hand and say, hey, I want to go to West Point or Annapolis or the Air Force Academy.
That's why we went to Miles City. Part of the reason is, you know, we can't visit every single town right now, unfortunately, so we don't have the time, but wanted to make sure we're kind of putting, you know, a drop of dye in every you know, bucket of population around the state to let it spread. And, you know, Montana's a small state population-wise, and everybody talks. So we're trying to hit every region of the state to make sure the word gets out. And but that, to your point, it's not that we don't have the people here. It's that they just don't even know. It's not even that we still have the second highest veteran population in the nation. So Montana's serve, they're proud to serve, but many of these high school students, they just don't even know that this is an option to them. You can go to an Ivy League quality education at no cost to you. And, you know, one of the things I do in these assemblies, and they're open town halls. Families come, just people from town come, they show up. It's not like show up and ask questions. It's totally open. There's no filter. There's no one approving questions. You raise your hand and we'll have a question answered. But I ask, hey, what's your biggest concern about college in this room? Raise your hand. Shout it out. Money. Mm-hmm. First thing. How am I going to pay for college? I said, well, and that's exactly one of the reasons why a service academy should interest you, because you actually get paid to go to the service academy. The military pays you. You're in the military at an academy. You get a paycheck while you're there. Now, it's a lot of hard work. It's not partying every day in college, and your summers are spent usually deployed around the world, flying in helicopters, submarine ships, et cetera, et cetera.
But doing cool stuff, though, too.
That's exactly right. Oh, getting amazing life experiences.
I tell you, you know, I mean, you think I'm undisciplined now. I was horribly undisciplined. Joining the military after 9/11 is one of the best things that ever happened to me. You know, unfortunately, out of a tragic, you know, circumstance, of course. But it's like, man, what we are seeing, do you think there's going to be a change, though, with the academy, you know, recruitment numbers now? Because military recruitment, with the election Donald Trump, with Pete Hegseth being confirmed as SecDef, the numbers have been skyrocketing for Navy recruitment, Army recruitment, across the board.
100%. I mean, it was, you know, we were getting all these tap dance excuses over the past 4 years why recruitment's done. Oh, the job market's tough, inflation, you know, we're competing, you know, labor tough here. And it was all these excuses. The reality was, people did not want to serve under that administration. And I'm not even going to say Republican, Democrat. Let's just be very honest. People did not want to serve in a structure where they saw us pull out of Afghanistan. They saw our longest war squandered by ineptitude and idiocy. They saw a military, I mean, they had literally a drag queen as the Navy's recruiting face on social media. I mean, that's just a fact. They had, in uniform, a cross-dressing drag queen dancing around recruiting for the Navy. And I think, as we've learned on November 5th, Americans are sick and tired of that crap. They're sick and tired of this, oh, there aren't two genders, this is that, you know, all this other, it's like, no, common sense, right? And I think the military had gone down this path that, frankly, most Americans, especially those who want to serve, it didn't resonate with them. Most people that want to serve the military, in the military, are not of that political persuasion. So I think they saw that, and now they're back.
Number of topics we can cover here with Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy in the House, in studio with us. We'll get to Cuesta in Cardwell on the phone lines, a fellow veteran as well. We'll get to her right after the break here, but you're the first, you, as a first-year senator, you're the first-year senator to already get a bill passed in the United States Senate. And this
That's right.
Big, important topic to us here in Montana and the Rocky Mountain West, dealing with wildfires. And so we'll talk about the wildfire legislation. Definitely want to talk President Trump's effort to make American industry great once again, and timber, all that. We'll get to that and more right after this with Senator Sheehy.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
A new report from CoBank says rapidly worsening expectations about everything from inflation to personal income to business conditions and labor supplies are elevating farmers' economic concerns. The question of whether the declining expectations will translate into slower spending and tightening profit margins will likely come into view by late June, the study says. Uncertainty over trade and biofuel policy pulled corn, soybean, and wheat prices down last quarter despite the weaker U.S. dollar. Trade concerns weighed heaviest on wheat, as world buyers have multiple suppliers available. Crop production expenses are expected to continue trending lower, but they remain elevated in relation to lower commodity prices. Also, renewable diesel and biodiesel production has scaled back to find stability in the absence of the blender's tax credit, pushing prices above petroleum. Record high prices for beef cattle remain across the sector despite continuing herd liquidation. The U.S. pork sector is positioned for moderate growth this year as well. Now looking to production bull sale results. Yesterday, the Treasure Bull Test took place at Western Livestock Auction in Great Falls, Montana. Producers from across the region offered over 105 Angus bulls that averaged $7,517 a head. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. We've got Senator Tim Sheehy in studio with us. And I always recognize this name because it's such a great, unique name. This is Cuesta in Cardwell here this morning. And I actually got to meet Cuesta at V42 Fitness out in Three Forks, and so a fellow military veteran. But Cuesta, great to hear from you. Did you have a quick question or comment for Senator Sheehy?
Yeah, I wanted to. Good morning, guys. Senator Sheehy, thank you for doing everything we elected you to do out up there in Washington, representing us so well. But my son goes to the school in Whitehall, and he was at the assembly yesterday, and he's been very non-interested in college due to the wokeness that most colleges have. And, of course, me being in the military, he's not real sure about that angle. And he came home yesterday and he says, Mom, Senator Cheney was at their school and he had an amazing message. And I didn't know about all these academies. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't know? And he says, well, I knew, but I didn't know. And he told us some great things. And he says, he's really young. And I don't know how he stays so young. And I said, well, you know, he's almost 30. He's almost 40. I said, well, son, we all age differently, and he said, well, I might think about an academy. So I want to thank you for your message and your time. Ethan was actually in my confirmation class, and a great kid that's going to represent Montana well at the Merchant Marine Academy. But having you take the time to go talk to our young people is just incredible.
That's pretty cool. Well, Cuesta, great to hear from you. Thanks for your service. Yeah, you know, the other thing that, well, first off, anything you want to say in response there, but, you know, the other thing is there's academy preps. There's prep academies as well that a lot of kids forget about.
That's exactly right. And Cuesta, thanks for your call. I know we've spoken a few times, and thanks for being an active messenger out there. And you're exactly right. I mean, this is why we're doing these Academy Day tours, is because just the lack of awareness. A lot of our high school kids, it's not that they don't want to serve or they're refusing to serve. They just don't even know what the options are. And to your point, you know, college, rightfully so, I think is coming under scrutiny. I'm very pro-education, but the reality is what we've seen on college campuses, especially the last year and a half since the October 7th tragedy, has really caused a lot of people to second guess whether that's a good way to not just spend 4 years of their life, but to potentially take debt out that can affect their entire life's ability to buy a home to raise a family. So I think rightfully so, your son's wise to say, I'm not sure college is the right path, but I think at the same time, the service academies are an amazing way to serve your country, but also just set yourself up for great success. And as Aaron said, there's even more options than I've talked about. There's the five service academies, but then we have the foundation preparatory school programs too, where let's say somebody applies and maybe isn't quite there academically to get in, because they are very academically demanding. I mean, they're as hard academically as Harvard, Yale, or anybody else. But that they'll even take the time and pay for you to go to prep school for a year to get your academics up to par and then send you. So it's a pretty exciting program.
If I remember right, the Blue Angels pilot that I got to fly back seat with during the Yellowstone Air Show, he did that. He went to the prep academy, and now he's, you know, been flying with the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels. So absolutely remarkable. I was trying to pull up the Chris Matthews soundbite here. Chris Matthews was, you know, complaining and whining about Donald J. Trump's efforts to make America great again. And we're talking make mining in America great again, make our timber industry great again. bring back this industrial base that's been decimated. And Chris Matthews went on this rant on MSNBC where he was saying, well, what are we going to do? You know, we get all of our lumber from Canada. What are we going to do, just make lumber in America? It's like, yeah, that's exactly the damn point, Chris.
That's exactly. So, you know, sometimes when I'm in the D.C. office, you know, and it's not a leisurely job. I mean, I start every day at 6, 7 a.m. I get a quick workout in, and then, you know, we start meetings, and oftentimes I'll have four dinners a night where I don't have time to eat it, but I'm going. It's a 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. job when we're in D.C. And obviously sometimes we'll vote all night. We'll vote into weekends and holidays. But when I do have a few minutes, if I'm in the office, I sit down and I answer constituent calls. Oftentimes they're not constituents. A lot of times they're paid, you know, activists to call and yell at us. But there's no filter.
You just pick up random phone calls at the front desk.
Yeah, the front
desk.
That's great. And I just sit there and answer phones. And a couple weeks ago we had a woman call in and said, I don't know if she's a real Montana or not, but she called in, and sometimes the area codes are off, or they say, I'm from Eastern Montana. I said, great, what town? I'm a rancher in Eastern Montana. What town are you from? Well, close to North Dakota. I'm like, okay, that's, yeah, so you're not. But
what
anyways,
do you
so,
ranch? Wheat. That's exactly, that's not ranching.
That's exactly right.
That was like there was another radio show, and they had some political guest on, and, you know, they had a seminar caller call in, and this is Beth in Stephensville. you mean Stevensville? Yeah.
Oh, you wouldn't be paid by Chuck Schumer, would you?
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
So this woman calls in, and she goes on a rant about tariffs. This is ridiculous. This is not what Montanans elected. Montanans did not vote for this. And I said, well, actually, ma'am, I have to correct you. They did. They voted for Donald Trump by about 20 points, three elections in a row, 16, 20, and 24. Montana overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump. And I got a news for you, lady. Donald Trump's been talking about tariffs since the 1980s, and he's been running on the basis of tariffs every single election. He's been, you can say a lot of things about Trump, whatever you want to say. He's the most transparent presidential candidate I think we've ever had. There's no secrets about the guy. He tells you whatever he's thinking, and, you know, he says what he means, and he does what he says.
But Senator Sheehy, they'll say, well, friends don't put tariffs on friends. Well, here's my beef with that. Okay, so Europe, they're our friends, but they can block our beef.
Right.
But the moment we want to do a tariff against them, that's bad. Why is it good for them all to tariff us and block our ag products or other products? But then the moment we say, hey, we're gonna play fair here, mm-hmm. all of a sudden we're the bad guy.
Yeah, and I've made it a point. You know, I don't just talk on Fox. I go on Hostile Network. I go on CNN. Because I think it's important that all Americans hear our message. Whether they voted for us or not, they need to hear common sense. So I go on CNN, and any host that asks me to come on, I say, yeah, well, come on. And you know, how could, you know, tariffs, this isn't free trade. I said, well hold on, let's be clear. Free trade also means fair trade. And if tariffs don't work, if tariffs are these crazy relic of the past, if tariffs are so stupid, then why does every single other country in the world tariff us? Because that's the way it works. Even, as you said, our so-called friends, who I do consider them friends, are Australians and Canadians. I'll use those as two of our closest allies. I fought alongside both of them in multiple deployments in support of our national defense. I love our Canadian and Australian brethren. But the reality is, they tariff us a lot. You know, 50% tariffs on American beef going into Australia. Meanwhile, Australia dumps their cheap beef into our market unfettered. Canada, they have restrictive tariffs. We're supposed to have a NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, yet, you know, whether it's many countries tariff us without calling them tariffs. They have a regulatory environment that specifically penalizes our industries. They have environmental regulations that they apply to foreign companies, not their own companies. China is, of course, the best example. They are not one of our friends, but the reality is, whether it's called a tariff, whether they just steal your IP and restrict your ability to do business, you know, threaten your executives, arrest your people in country, shut down your business, raid your businesses. I mean, they use every instrument possible in China to make American businesses at a disadvantage. So they may not call it a tariff, but when they just arrest your people and shut down your office and put a padlock around your doors, that may not be a tariff, but guess what? It pretty damn well hurts your business.
That's right. And essentially, we have been funding their Belt and Road Initiative. We have been funding their military expansion while they're creating mock-up aircraft carriers of U.S. aircraft carriers in the desert for target practice. Let's sneak in another caller here. Tim in Billings, do you have a quick question or comment?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, that talking about the tariffs real quick, you know, saying that America can afford to pay these tariffs to these other countries, that sounds like a very socialistic view to me, that the richer country can afford to pay this stuff. Very, very Marxist to me. But what I really wanted to call about, Senator Sheehy, thank you for raising awareness to these service academies and other opportunities. I'm a 48-year-old adult male. There were so many opportunities available to me that I had no idea about. My oldest daughter was inducted to the National Honor Society last night. I had no idea what that was even about, that it even existed. I mean, I heard of it. I didn't think that somebody of my family would ever qualify for something like that. And the fact that you're taking the message out to the more rural parts of the country, it's just, thank you very much. And America is great, and we have the best civilization that has ever graced the face of the planet. And it's because we have servant leadership, and I think you exude that in spades.
All right, Tim, thanks for the call. Good to hear. Yeah, he's got some great kids, too. I've gotten to meet him. What can you tell us from the inside as a U.S. senator now? You were just at the White House with President Trump. Great news on the energy front as well. But what are people not hearing about, some of the things you're hearing about behind the scenes?
Yep. First of all, Tim, thanks for the call. And obviously, you're doing a great job as a father if your daughter's in the National Honor Society. So congratulations. And you're doing well at the most important job in the world, which is being a parent. We all may have these cool titles, Navy SEAL, Aero Firefighter, Senator. But at the end of the day, my most important job is being a dad and husband, of course. But, but back to Aaron's point there. So, you know, on the inside, again, I've been there 100 days. I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert on any of this. I never even ran for student council. So this is my first time in any politics. But what I'll say is we are aligned as a party. And, you know, the press and the Democrats love to characterize that as, you know, oh, you know, everyone else is just supplicating to Trump. He's in charge and he's browbeating everyone into submission. No, we just all are aligned on the fact that we know what the policies are that have to save this country. And we're working together to enact his agenda and our agenda as fast as possible. And in Montana, that means more coal. That means common sense. That means secure our borders. And that means safe streets.
Bernie Sanders and AOC in Missoula today.
Welcome. If that's the face of the party, I welcome them because Montanans don't want to hear that message.
Apparently, the Democrats in Montana learned nothing after November. They're like, oh, yeah, let's just double down on that whole losing thing.
Montana. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy in studio. Before I get to John in Kalispell on the phone lines here, Senator Sheehy, our producer Caden, had a great write-up on our Montana Talks website earlier this week. Senator Sheehy stokes fire for Aerial Firefighting Act in the Senate. There's actually a couple of different, you know, forest health / firefighting bills you're working on. But one, you're the only first-year senator to have already gotten a bill passed in this session of Congress already. So talk a little bit about that before we get to our next caller.
Well, obviously, as a water bomber pilot, been fighting wildfires for 10 years. Obviously, as farmers and ranchers, you know, we're out there occasionally every year fighting fires, you know, on our neighbor's land and our land. So wildfire is a way of life for those of us in Montana and really anybody in Western states. And we all know that fire is not necessarily managed well by our federal agencies. It's not a reflection on our brave wildland firefighters, but it is a reflection on the broken bureaucracy that governs how we manage our public lands and how we respond to fires there. And, of course, that was always a problem I wanted to solve. But I figured, listen, you know, there's other issues that are more urgent. When I get into office, we got to secure the border. We got to get this economy turned around. We've got to get, obviously, our military reoriented, and those are all things I can help with. But, you know, the first weekend I'm sworn in, what happens? L.A., you know, the worst fire in America, the most destructive disaster in American history, the most expensive disaster ever in the history of our country, $250 billion just on recovery cost alone. And that doesn't even talk about the economic pain when all everyone's homeowners insurance across the country, where they're going to see premiums jump if they can get it as a result of that fire. So, I mean, I can go on for hours. I was on the Sean Ryan podcast. If folks want to learn more, look up the Sean Ryan podcast.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's a must watch.
And that kind of gets you, that's multiple hours deep dive on this issue. But back to the point, I realized right away that this is the time to solve wildfire. This is the time to fix our forests, to fix our public lands management. This is the time to pay our wildland firefighters the pay they deserve as first responders. And so we have about 14 different bills that I've either led, co-signed, sponsored, or introduced myself. That will be supported by some activity from secretarial orders and executive actions in the executive branch, and we're going to fix this issue. We're done watching cities burn to the ground. We're done watching our forests burn when they could be getting logged, common sense economic activity. We're done watching our public lands burn to the ground when frankly, they should be protected, and we're going to protect our communities better. So,
and of course, a lot of the reason for that is these far-left liberal judges, the same ones that are trying to block President Trump and your efforts to secure this country from this illegal invasion. Let's go to John in Kalispell. John, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, Senator Sheehy, I would like you to, and potentially Senator Daines, take a look at the FEMA and the management of the floodplains and how individuals where their land is in the floodplain is having, it's very difficult to get it developed, and it's very slow in the bureaucracy where it takes potentially 6 to 9 months just to get a plan approved in order to do any development in that floodplain, which can easily be done without any negative effect or impact downstream.
All right. Interesting. Let's hold it there since we are short on time. Your thoughts?
Yep.
I mean, Doge, I know, has been looking into FEMA for sure.
They have. So, no, you're absolutely right on the FEMA front, and the floodplain designations, you know, frankly, have been very slow in adjusting those. And the city of Three Forks, actually, if you're not familiar with what's going on, Three Forks and Three Forks, Montana, they have been battling a floodplain issue for decades now, and it basically stifles their ability to do common sense infrastructure projects. So I completely agree. FEMA right now is definitely under a microscope from Doge and the executive branch, because a lot of what they've done just doesn't add up, and you know, the impacts of what they're supposed to be doing aren't always there. So I'm very familiar with the floodplain issue. One of my hay fields, and we tried to put an irrigation system into our hay field, and it was in floodplain, and obviously the permitting process and all that review is, as you well know, very, very cumbersome. So we will work on that, and that's definitely on the chopping block.
All right, let's go next. We got Todd in Warden, and I know, Todd, you've been having a whole bunch of problems with the VA here in Montana. Quick question or comment before we run out of time.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Senator Sheehy. Hey, I've been dealing with the VA here in Montana for over two years now, and it's while we have good doctors and nurses at the VA, the administrative staff at the VA is terrible and are restricting veterans from getting care. Even next week, I'm going to Richmond, Virginia to get care that was once offered here in Montana, but due to the chief of staff, Dr. Normandin, and Dwayne Gill, the director who empowers Normandin, we can't get that care here in Montana.
So you got to go all the way across the country. Yeah. I know we only got about a minute or so to go here, but you're on the VA committee.
Yep. So I'm on the VA committee specifically for this reason, Todd, and the reality is the VA is broken. We have a lot of great people in the VA who care about our veterans, as you said, our providers, they're frontline. They want to do what's right for those who serve this country, but the reality is the bureaucracy is so broken. And Doug Collins, who's the new VA secretary, he has been empowered by the president and us on the VA committee in the Senate and the House. We are supporting him to make really structural changes to the VA. The point of the VA is to put the veterans first. The VA needs to exist to serve the veterans, not serve a bureaucracy, and not to serve employee unions. So we are reorienting the VA. That does mean there's going to be reorientations. That means that there's going to be people laid off. If they're not performing well, as you said, if these employees are not doing their job, we're going to get rid of them. That's just that you do that in any high-performing organization. That's not anti-veteran to get rid of people not doing their job. And if they are doing well in the VA, we want to promote them and put them in charge. We got to cut the red tape, get rid of bureaucracy, and put our veterans first.
Looks like President Trump is winning the battle against these liberal federal judges trying to block his deportation efforts. You think he'll win, will win at the end of the day?
Absolutely. We're not backing down on this. I mean, this is completely outside. These national injunctions are a product of the Obama liberal legal industrial complex, and we're going to fight them all the way.
All right. Senator Tim Sheehy, great to see you. Thanks for popping into the Montana Talk studios.
Great
calls and more. Thanks for your time. Sorry, we're out of time.